AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. I'm pretty sure the person with me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
Cap Grass Fever.
Yeah, I think it's Cap Gras, because it's a Frenchman who was the first person to describe
it. Jerry just called it crab grass.
I know.
Stuff.
We're all kinds of screwed up.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say Cap Gras the whole time, so we'll just say Cap Grass.
That's obnoxious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not in Quebec.
That's right. Or Quebec.
Right.
This is basically our invasion of the body snatchers.
Episode.
Podcast.
Yeah. That, unless we do one on the invasion of the body snatchers.
Well, it's kind of the deal, though.
We're talking today about a very, very strange and once thought to be very uncommon and rare disorder. A delusional disorder, a delusional misidentification disorder, to be specific.
Yeah.
Where the sufferer believes that the people in his or her life, people very close to him, have all been replaced by imposters. That they're like, I'm looking at you right now, Chuck, and you look just like Chuck, and you're doing a great job with the voice and everything, but I don't want to say it, and I don't want to look you in the eye, but like, you're obviously not Chuck, and what's going on?
I think we all feel that about each other occasionally.
But imagine like that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, how would you just not lose faith in the reality of anything if you thought, first of all, how are they coming up with great imposters like this?
Sure.
Who is they?
Yeah.
Why are they doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why you? Is it just you or is the whole world?
Imposters.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of really weighty questions involved with this. And as a result, science has been trying to really figure out the mystery behind it and has failed thus far.
Yeah, and you know, we already should say it's not only difficult on the person, but it's difficult on the person being misidentified as well.
Sure.
And you really don't hear a lot about that. I read a bunch of articles on this, and only one said, and don't forget, if your wife thinks that you're an imposter, it's really tough on you as well.
Sure.
You know?
That is kind of overlooked.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So this is actually kind of a newish phenomenon as far as description goes.
Yeah.
1923, Dr. Capgras and Dr. Raboul Lachaud described Madame M., who believed that she had as many as 80 husbands, all of them the same, looking the same.
Right.
But they were all imposters, and she never could get close to them because eventually they would just kind of leave and be replaced by a new one. And she was utterly convinced of this.
And I'm sure at the time they thought, boy, this lady's just nuts. But then the more people did research, the more they found, and I couldn't find any good stats on how rare it is.
I got it.
I heard thousands, and that means nothing.
So the one I saw, it was in 2006 or 2005, I believe. The estimate was between 1.3 to 4.1% of all psychiatric patients have Capgras. And you can probably say that if that's close, then that's probably close to the general population, because if you believe that the people who are closest to you in your life are imposters and you're accusing them of such, they're probably going to force you to go seek psychiatric help. That's so true. That would probably be a pretty close statistic for the society at large. And where you really see it, though, is in Alzheimer's patients. The statistic was between 2 and 30% of Alzheimer's patients possibly suffer from Capgras or crabgrass.
Yeah, but isn't that just Alzheimer's?
No, not necessarily. No. Alzheimer's, you know, that can be forgetfulness. It can be disorientation. This is like
specific thing.
You're accusing your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter of being somebody else, somebody posing as them.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So this is different than something we've covered, face blindness, before, right?
We talked about it, came up in something else. Like, but yeah, maybe we did do a whole podcast on it.
I'm not sure, but that is prosopagnosia. And this is not prosopagnosia. That's when you can see a face over and over and over, and still you just don't know who it is.
Right.
In this case, you know, like, hey, that's Josh. I'm looking at him. I know that face. But they've done studies with skin conductance. This is when they're basically measuring the amount of perspiration on your face.
Right. Which is it's a measure of the limbic system being active, which is in turn a measure of your emotions going off.
Yeah, with the idea being that if you're sweating a little bit on the face, then that is a physiological or psychological cue that, like, hey, look at this picture of your mother. I will recognize that as my mother, and maybe my face will sweat a little bit.
Right, if you are what's called a normal participant. If you have propagnosia, you will not recognize that picture.
Right.
Intellectually, consciously.
Right.
But your skin conductivity will go off. So that means that the emotional cue is still triggered, even though you don't know who you're looking at.
Right.
That's the opposite of studies of Capgras syndrome.
Yeah, they'll see a picture, and they will not have – it's basically like they're looking at a picture of a complete stranger.
Right, and they don't have the – yeah, they don't
even
have that
they
emotional
recognize the
response.
Face.
Right, exactly. But they don't have an emotional response. Here's the thing. They recognize the face enough to know this is my dad.
Yeah.
They are rational enough. That's the other thing, too. Other than this, they're rational.
Yeah.
It's what's called a monothematic syndrome, where you have one delusion, and it's a whopper. And
yeah.
It basically consumes your whole life. So they're rational otherwise, and they're rational enough to say, okay, this is my dad I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel any kind of emotional stimulation from seeing my dad, and I should.
Yeah.
And because I don't, this is an imposter. That's what they think is going on.
Yeah, one of the common things that the people with this syndrome will say is that, like, their soul is gone or their soul is missing.
That's a different syndrome.
No. That's linked to Capgras, because they'll recognize
them. Oh, the other person?
Yeah.
Okay.
The person they're looking at is, that's not my mother. That's not their,
right.
I would sense my mother's soul.
Right. So what they think then is that when we, this kind of proves that we make memories two ways that are connected, that we take in stimuli, right? Like visual stimuli. I'm looking at you. And at the same time, I'm looking at Chuck, and I like Chuck. So I'm also kind of taking note that same memory that I'm forming of the visual representation of you also has an attendant emotion, happiness. I like you.
Yeah.
So when I see you again, I should feel that same thing, happiness. Oh, I'm glad to see Chuck. That is a full memory.
Yeah.
With Capgras, people who suffer that, they're missing the emotional aspect, and they have the recognition. And the V.S. Ramachandran, I think I said his name right, he came up in the Mirror Neurons episode.
Yes.
He's just this brilliant, genius dude.
UC San Diego.
Yeah.
Go Aztecs?
Maybe.
I think so.
He said probably what's happening then is you have a secondary lesion, or secondary damage.
Yeah.
Where your right brain is very analytical, and it checks your left brain, which wants to explain everything away. And if that right brain analysis is damaged, then the left brain can go to whatever links it wants to explain away strange phenomena. In this case, if you have that disconnect between the sensory input and the emotional aspect of a memory, in conjunction with a loss of the right brain checking your delusions, then the left brain is able to go off and say, oh, well, it must be an imposter.
Yeah, well, the emotional side wins out, essentially, as a explanation.
Right.
To sort of reconcile those two things.
Yeah, because it's missing. It's not deluded. The person is not delusional. It's there's an imposter.
Yeah. You know what's really weird is another one of the characteristics sometimes is it can extend to animals and objects as well.
Yeah.
So it's not always just people. They can, you know, that's my dog, but it's not. I know that chair is not the original chair. Someone came in here and replaced it with an exact replica. And they're not hallucinating, you know, they're aware of all this stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, like, imagine the paranoia that would generate in you.
Yeah.
Like, who moved the chair? Who replaced this chair? What's the deal? And, they found that it is comorbid with things like Alzheimer's and schizophrenia as well and other psychotic disorders.
Yeah. And it's usually your, spouse too. One article I read said it's always your spouse is how it starts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's quite right. That seems a little willy-nilly to say every single time it starts with your spouse.
So let's talk about some of the explanations that science has come up with. Since it was first described in 1923, it was right in Freud's wheelhouse.
Oh, yes.
So the psychoanalysts had the first crack at it, and they swung and missed. They basically said that it was a repressed Oedipus or Electra complex, right?
Yeah, and that was kind of poo-pooed pretty quickly. They were saying that, you know, you're just trying to resolve guilt about your circumstances, identifying your parent as a lookalike, and then pretty quickly scientists said, you know, that probably doesn't have to do with repressed feelings in this case.
Right.
Done.
Done.
And
so everybody kind of
took his ball and went home.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really been kicked to the curb.
Has he?
Yeah. Even by psychology, they've turned their backs on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Psychodynamic approach.
And, sorry, Freudians.
That was the psychodynamic approach, and that's, like we said, has kind of been poo-pooed.
Well, that was the psychodynamic approach was the one where it's repressed feelings.
Oh, right.
The Freudian
right.
approach was that you wanted to have sex with your mom.
Right.
So you resolve the guilt from that by saying,
you're not my mom.
You're not my mom. You're an imposter, so...
But I want to have sex with you, and that's okay.
I'm in the Glenn Miller version of the mood, and I feel really guilty. Again, we should say that one was thrown out.
A lot of researchers think that it's a result of an actual organic cause, something physically wrong with the brain, which makes sense to me. They look for lesions, cerebral dysfunction, signs of atrophy, and like you mentioned, it is also comorbid a lot of time with psychotic disorders, epilepsy, even Alzheimer's, and you mentioned schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I think bipolar is on there as well.
Yeah.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in
exactly.
to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy,
right.
Which is different than empathy,
yeah.
right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already
yeah.
see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So other doctors say, you know what, it might be a combination of these things, like physical and cognitive causes.
Yeah, which, you have some sort of organic damage, but then you're mentally you're rationalizing it inappropriately. Like you can't accept that you're delusional because of any sort of brain damage. You're projecting it's everyone else is an imposter.
Right.
So that would be a combination of mental and physical.
And again, it's your brain trying to explain something that doesn't quite add up in your head.
Yeah.
So what's clear is there's a breakdown in communication.
There is. Somewhere in the brain, Ramachandran and his partner, I don't want to just call out the star, but Hirstein and Ramachandran did a paper in 97 that was pretty interesting. They consider it a problem of memory management.
Yeah.
Wherein, like, you or I, if our brain is to be, if it's a computer, like it is a computer, right?
Sure.
When we see somebody or meet somebody, we create a file on that person. And then when we encounter that person again, we access the same file and then add to it.
Yeah.
But it's the same file.
Right.
What Ramachandran and Hirstein were proposing was that people who have Capgras make a new file every time for the same person. But there has to be some sort of link between these files. I don't think that's necessarily an apt description. I think they were more onto it with it's the same file, it's just missing something that the patient senses is missing. There's
right.
a void there, and they're saying, well, I'm missing something. It's because you're an imposter and I don't really know you.
Yeah, like some sort of emotional identification marker.
Right.
This is really interesting to me. They have studies that showed that blind people, it can actually extend to their voice of the person, but other times they've shown that they recognize them on the phone, but not in person.
Yeah, that was a dude named DS that Ramachandran.
So it can be both?
His was the only modality, is what they call it, for his delusion was visual.
Right.
So like when he saw his parents, his dad was not his dad. And actually his dad was pretty cool. His dad one day, DS was a 30-year-old Brazilian guy who got into a car accident and started suffering Capgras syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And his parents started to get really worried, didn't know what to do. So his dad one day came in and declared that the man who had been replacing him as an imposter, he had sent him away to China and he would never return. And
hey, that's pretty smart.
I'm your father and I'm back. And it worked for a couple of weeks and then it just went back. The guy became convinced that no, the imposter is back. He had Capgras syndrome so bad that he came to believe that he himself was an imposter.
Wow.
And he asked his mother, when the real DS returns, will you still love me and treat me as your friend? Can I still stay around?
And she said, I don't know who you are.
So this guy thought everything, including himself, was an imposter. He thought there were two Panamas that he'd been to recently. He thought there were two United States.
Wow.
There were doubles for everything. And when he talked to his parents on the phone, though, he didn't suffer that delusion. It was strictly
Would he
visual.
Say things like, Dad, where, like, there's this other guy here pretending to be you?
Yeah, no,
like
he was very
he
open about it. No, I don't know. He would, like, he didn't hide it from what I understand.
Interesting.
Which is something that's probably healthy if you have Capgras syndrome, because there have been instances of violence with Capgras syndrome.
Yeah, this one guy thought a robot had replaced his father, so he decapitated his father to look for the robot inside.
A woman in a mental institution killed another patient because she thought that she was going to kill her daughter's double.
Wow.
So she was actually protecting the imposter from somebody who she didn't necessarily think was an imposter.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
So as far as treating this, since it's pretty rare, there's not a lot of, prescribed regular treatments. Sometimes it goes away. Yeah, sometimes if it's like a physical brain trauma, you can reestablish that connection and things start firing correctly again, and it just kind of disappears.
I wonder when you come out of it, Chuck, like, do you feel like, wow, that was really crazy what I used to think, or do you feel like all the imposters have left and all of my family's back now?
Oh, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah.
Another thing that they say, if it's linked to a mental disorder, sometimes it can be helped by medication that would also help that mental disorder. But there really, for most people, there is no treatment and there is no cure. I think it's just probably a long series of sessions on the couch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I mean, how do you forge trust that's, it, you know, in somebody when you, which is required.
Yeah.
To say, okay, it's me. Everyone's not imposters. I have a false belief. When ultimately, if the closer you get to say, like your therapist,
yeah,
the more likely you are to come to believe that they're going to be replaced by an imposter.
Yeah.
This is a sad condition.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some other sad conditions too that are similar. I mean, it's a delusional misidentification syndrome. It also falls under the umbrella of reduplicative paraamnesia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
So another similar one is the Fregoli system, and it was named after Leopoldo Fregoli. He was a quick change artist, mm-hmm. and that leads you to believe that people around you are people in disguise. So not replacements, but, hey, I know that you should be my dentist, but you're really my sister in disguise as my dentist.
Yeah, it's like over-recognition.
Yeah.
Like everyone in your life that you see and interact with on a daily basis, like your dentist or somebody on the subway or whatever, is actually somebody very close to you dressed up in disguise.
Cotard syndrome?
Yeah.
That is a belief that you are missing body parts. Or you are emotionally dead, and sometimes they think, like, my heart doesn't beat, or I don't have bones.
Or I don't exist any longer.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, these are people that really feel this way.
It's pretty much like the psychological manifestation of an existential crisis.
Yeah.
Like, you think your brain is rotting inside of you, and, like, you're dead. I mean, you don't feel anything.
What about inner metamorphosis?
This one's odd. It's kind of like, it's kind of like Capgras syndrome, but it's more complete. Like and it's not imposters, it's people close to you switching.
Right.
Like just your brother's now your father.
Psychologically and physically, the whole ball of wax.
Like apparently you see them, like when you're interacting with your father, you see and think you're interacting with your brother if they've switched.
Wow.
Yes. Wow indeed. The thing about this, though, and you kind of get this from the Ramachandran paper, which I strongly recommend reading. It's only like 9 pages.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting stuff. Is every once in a while he pulls back and is like, can you effing believe the brain?
Yeah.
It is incredible what it can do. And when it malfunctions, man, can it ever malfunction. But he's pointing out that, like, through these really, really rare cases, you can start to get a glimpse into how we form memories and how we retrieve memories and to better understand human consciousness through, you know, these very unique, unusual patients.
Yeah, I'd like to think at the end of our run, you know, in 50 years, we're going to have a nice body of work on the brain for people to pick and choose. And, you know, from like alien hand to Capgras to how memories are formed and how you taste and
myths on the brain.
Yeah, it's just pretty amazing stuff. I know.
How do you taste? I taste delicious.
It's our, I think it's probably our favorite topic.
Did you just say 50 years?
Yeah, man.
Hey, I got one for you. Have you seen The Imposter?
Yeah.
I think I talked about it before too.
It's a good documentary.
Good documentary. Go check that one out.
Yeah.
And you got anything else on Capgras?
No, sir.
Okay. Capgras, crabgrass, Capgras. Coup de gras, butter, all of those things. Type them into the search bar at howstuffworks.com, and it may or may not bring up this article. At least a couple of them will. And since I said search bar, let's take a message break. Stuff you should
know. Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in
exactly.
to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy,
right.
which is different than empathy,
yeah.
right?
And basically have conversations questions that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, listener mail.
Yes, buddy, I'm going to call this one email from a former Mormon. Hey guys and Jerry, I was listening to the podcast on marriage. I want to give you some information on Mormon marriage. Though the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints no longer practices nor supports the secular act of marrying multiple spouses, men can still be sealed to multiple women. And I'll try and explain sealing to you, but even though I was raised a member of the church, the details are a little bit fuzzy because he's been out for a little while. Though sealing is related to marriage and takes place at the same time, it is a separate ordinance where marriage ensures that a couple receives all the legal benefits promised by the government. Sealing ensures all of the religious benefits promised by the Lord.
That was a good preacher.
Thank you. The two main benefits that I can remember are, one, the sealed persons will be together for all time and eternity, and two, the sealed persons will enter into the highest level of heaven of the three. I guess there's three levels.
Oh, okay.
I found out a man can be sealed to multiple women when my parents went through their divorce. Even though they went through the legal process of divorce, they never had their sealing nullified. When my dad remarried, he was sealed to my stepmother and to my biological mother at the same time. Later on, when my mom remarried, she had to nullify her sealing to my father because women are not allowed to be sealed to multiple men, only men to multiple women.
Huh.
Furthermore, my new stepfather was sealed to his late wife when he married my mother, and he still is to this day.
Man. That's a lot of sealing.
My intentions aren't to bash the church in any way, but the fact that men can be sealed to multiple women is a little known fact to most people inside and outside the church. Though the church's practice of polygamy doesn't bother me anymore, educated consenting adults should be allowed to be with the ones they love, in my opinion. And that's his opinion.
Right.
I am bothered by the fact that they don't inform people of their policy on being sealed to multiple spouses. That's all I've got, guys, on Mormons and marriage. No longer a member of the church, but I still find the religion and culture very fascinating. A podcast on how the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints works would be amazing. And that is from Ethan Clark.
Thanks, Ethan. Ethan Clark,
yeah.
My long-lost brother.
And we've been asked by many Mormons and members of that church to do one on their religion.
So we have a whole queue of ones that we have to do that's kind of piling up. It's like before we hit the 50-year mark.
It's just like one after the other, the never-ending cycle.
We will add it to the cycle, the never-ending cycle, starring Atreyu. If you want to suggest a podcast and accompany it with a story or some outsider's former insider analysis, we want to hear it. You can tweet to us at SYSKpodcast. Join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@Discovery.com. And wait, don't press stop yet. Go to our website. It's www.StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
This podcast is brought to you by BASF, the chemical company. I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.